I mean, it's not a lot of money, you know, but still, you know, just trying to find some sort of taking out of our pocket.
Probably $60,000-$65,000 altogether with engineering.
But we're going to have the equipment to install something of that magnitude, though, you know.
Do you have a culvert number for it?
Not off the top of my head, no. It's on our bridge list. I can shoot you that number. Only other thing I had, Rick, was we're taking our mill and overlay to council tonight for our mill and overlay program for several streets in town. And so they'll start, hopefully by the end of next month, they'll start paving. And let's see what else I've got written down.
I want Darren's Coon Creek project to go.
What's that?
I want Darren's Coon Creek project to go. Because our overlay, they're doing it at the same time. They're mobilizing and doing both of them. And so I just want to make sure his stays on track. So there we go. But anyway.
And the next thing on my only thing is on our transportation master plan. We're going to propose it for our budget for next year. Kept letting it slide every year. The funding's not there for it. So we hope to be able to bring that back around next year in our budget. Since we've done this survey, and three of the top things on the survey was safety, police and fire, and transportation. So hopefully this will help push it through, and we'll get some money made available.
Will there be some public meetings on that?
The transportation master plan?
Yes,
if it gets funded.
We will sit in on those.
Good.
Try to discover more of what you got planned for the.
You bet.
Is that a 15-year plan or what is it?
I can't remember the last time when David done it. I think it was prior to me coming. I didn't get to the city until 2010. So that's all I had.
Okay, any. To the new business?
Well, I don't know if MoDOT got finished yet.
MoDOT.
That's MoDOT done. I'm new business. Can
perfect.
Okay, so just a recap. I'm Megan. I am with the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments. So we are the Regional Planning Commission. We serve 10 counties in Southwest Missouri. And we're a partner with MoDOT to facilitate the rural transportation planning. So the county commission kind of defers to you guys as the transportation authority for Katy County. And so we work through the prioritization process with this board to ensure that the needs that you guys have identified in Katy County are the ones that we are taking to our transportation advisory committee. So to just kind of recap, the statewide planning process really begins at the local level. So this is what we do. We start with our counties. We invite all the communities within the counties. You guys are my 10th of my 10 counties. And so I come, I meet with you guys. We really hash out what we do for our district is the top three road and bridge needs. And the top two bike and pedestrian, but those matter a little bit less. And I will explain that why. But those top needs then get taken to our transportation advisory committee, or our TAC, and then prioritized at our TAC. So Rick and Buddy are the current TAC members, and then actually Randy Hayes is the alternate. And at the TAC, we identify 10 road and bridge needs, so our top 10 needs, and we take those to the Southwest District, where they are consolidated into this lovely, masterful, colorful list that you guys have. So I should say that my TAC, I have 10 counties, we take 10 needs. In general, my TAC has been very kind to each other, and that they essentially ensure that each county has their number one need on that top 10 list. The kicker is there are some counties where their number one needs might be the same need because several of our needs in our region overlap to multiple counties. Number six, like 65 being a good example, is that it goes through, you know, Christian County, Taney County, and really if we go north, being Green and Dallas County. So there are opportunities for more than one county to get, for a county to get more than one need on that list. And then when we take it to that district meeting, when you look at that colorful sheet, you will see when there's like a project ID column, and it says an SM in front of it, that means SIMCOG. And so those are our projects and how they rank. The numbers next to those are how they rank with our TAC, and then the far left column is where they rank on a district-wide list. So when we take it to our Southwest District, we are then consolidating our top 10 with our peer organization based in Clinton, our peer organization based in Carl Junction. Joplin has their own NCO, so Joplin has a list as well. And then Northwest Arkansas actually reaches up into part of McDonald County, so they participate in the process too. So we consolidate all of our top needs into one list, and they are then prioritized at that district-wide meeting. When you see there are some numerical scoring, MoDOT has created this matrix to essentially tie what these needs at in terms of how they address MoDOT's overarching goals. So you can see at the top there are sort of these overarching goals. It's safety, system reliability, economic development are three of the big broad ones. And then the measurements are, you know, how are these needs, that are, what are we addressing here, and how can they tie back to MoDOT's goals to ensure that they are, you know, these are things that we should be investing money on because they are tied back to the statewide transportation goals. So a lot of times you'll see, you know, some projects, some needs may score really well, and some may not score super well when you look at just that quantitative pre-scoring. We also get points that we as an organization get to give to our projects and that we get to give to other projects, and so it becomes sort of this barter and trade thing that we do during this meeting to get points allocated to different needs. It's a weird day, but it ends up with this resulting list. And so, like Frank said, this is essentially having this prioritized list allows MoDOT to program additional things into their STIP. So I think we in our area have had really good luck with, you know, roadways that maybe are up for resurfacing or up for some basic maintenance improvements. MoDOT can add a little bit of extra money to that project to do additional improvements, whether it be passing lanes, turn lanes, intersection improvements. So, you know, Frank mentioned 65 is a good example of it was coming up for some maintenance anyway, so adding some additional funds to address some of the problem intersections allows them to basically, you know, get a bigger bang for your buck and do more with a little bit, with less money, because as we know, it's not going as far. So I just wanted to make sure everybody sees that and sees sort of how things score. I do give the caveat of, however, sometimes your top priorities may not necessarily score the best. So I use Stone County as an example in that their number one priority for the last 3 years has been the Indian Point 76 intersection, the Stone Dollar City intersection, getting a second turn lane in there so traffic is not waiting and waiting and waiting. No one goes on vacation to sit in traffic. So that has been their top priority. It's an intersection. Intersections do not score terribly well based on this criteria. It's just not really structured for intersection improvements. But that is consistently still been their number one because for them, that is their top priority. So, you know, the Taney County Expressway, I think, because some of it we used as if it were to take some of the safety improvements, you know, by taking traffic off of other roadways, but it may not have scored as well as it would have if it was an existing roadway per se. So those are things just to keep in mind. But if it's still the number one priority, it should still stay the number one priority. So those are things I just like to make sure that we're not trying to, you can game the system, but I don't want people to game the system just to get the points if it's not the top priority, if that makes sense. I will also say this list has been used. We do a lot of exercises with fake money is what I call it, but eventually it could be real money. So with MoDOT, about every 2 years, we go through some different funding exercises. And so because of the potential for bonding, and the governor had proposed, you know, this $350 million for bridge bonding, the legislation that was passed is $301 million, I believe, tied to the infra grant. But if it does get passed, it could potentially open up some funding that was budgeted for those bridges that would now be paid for with bond money. So there might be a little bit of flexibility there. But there's also, a $2 billion? $2 billion scenario over 10 years, which was about $153 million for us,
yeah,
give or take, over 10 years. And we think that's roughly equivalent to the amount of bonds coming off of MoDOT's rolls over the next decade. So as they pay down the bonds that we had from, like, is it all in the new three? I don't know. Lots of bonds being paid off.
It's mostly Amendment 3.
Mostly Amendment 3 bonds. As those are paid off, there's additional bonding capacity that then opens up. So the potential is if MoDOT were to get authorization to bond or do additional bonding, there would be more money that would open up. So we've been using this list to say, okay, if we had this money, we had additional funding open up, what types of system improvement projects or expansion projects that are on this list could be funded through that exercise? So things like, you know, I think we ended up giving like $15 million to the Taney County Expressway over the 10-year time span, thinking, okay, well, that could at least get something started. And just like, you know, a few million dollars on 65 to try to finish off the safety improvements. They did a safety audit on 65. I think it was like over $30 million of safety improvements that could be done on that corridor. So lots of money that needs to be invested, not a lot of money out there, as we discussed. But we do use these lists in from multiple ways, not only just incorporating this DIP, but also just walking through this up sort of an unfunded needs list to provide, and it helps make the case with legislators. So you can say, look at all these things we could do if we had money, guys. Like, let's talk about transportation funding and actually put a need next to it. So just kind of wanted to give an update on what this list is used for and why we do this every year. But the last year, the gray sheet is the one that we had from last year. So your number one priority, really for the last 2 years, has been that the Taney County Expressway. I believe last year we officially just said phase one of the Taney County Expressway, which I believe is what the bill grant was for. And you guys do plan on reapplying for that, correct? That is the plan. So when the time comes and you need a letter of support, let me know. I will gladly write a new one. I'm going to assume that you want to keep that as your number one priority, but I will make no assumptions. Is that something we think is still number one priority?
I don't know. I've been talking a lot, but yes.
Okay. Just never stopped you before.
I understand.
Keep going. You're good. Yes. Okay.
There's a lot of resources, time, and energy. And when you take a look at what the local focus is here regionally in the county, mm-hmm. it's getting that going.
Absolutely. Okay. So we're going to leave that as number one. So number two was 65, so an eventual upgrading to the freeway standards across the county. Like I said, this is also on Christian County's list. That's been a priority for them too. So essentially we would lump them into kind of like one regional project. But is that still a number two priority for the county? Do you guys think there's something else that overrides that? We have a lot of traffic coming down 65 into Taney County. I will also mention, this came up in a conversation about I-44. I don't know, and maybe this is a Travis question, what if any discussions have there been for like the truck lanes on your hills on 65, sort of the, what's the technical term for the
climbing lanes?
Yeah, that's super technical. The climbing lanes on the hills on 65. Is that anything that you would want to make sure is included in this? That, I have this conversation because I remember last year when I was heading here, I was following the beams for the Bull Shulton New Bridge down 65. I followed them all the way into town. Well, I beat them on the 160, thank goodness, because they had it close. And there was a tree in the road, so I called that in before the trucks came by. But those trucks were going 35 miles an hour. I mean, you can't go the speed limit up those hills in a truck. Just in a normal truck, you can't. So on 44, we have those climbing lanes in some of those, so the trucks can get over and take it. Is that even something that's on your radar? Is that something you're like, we don't really think that's much of an issue?
It'd be nice, but there's probably bigger priorities.
Okay. It's fine. I just was like, why are there not? I literally said to me, why are there not climbing lanes on 65? And the answer was, but that's not a local priority. I was like, okay, well, that's fair. So I wanted to ask if it was, in fact, because I've been stuck behind enough boats and trucks to think, strange, if there's not. That's fine.
65, as you guys are, it's always interesting because you work on the capacity in the metro area. And there's part of that's because there's money. But just because there's an invisible line on the road doesn't mean that capacity went away. Now, some of it did turn off into residential subdivisions and that kind of stuff, but a whole bunch of it didn't turn off.
No.
It's still there. And if you don't continue to address that, it's not going to get any better. So that kind of stuff is going to have to be addressed somewhere. And actually, in an odd way, we're better off north and south than we are east and west. go east and west on Highway 76 and see how that works out for you.